political stock. Can I be Perez? What? I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah.
In fact, someone not cut from the typical political stock is going to get a lot of folks' attention right about now. I, for one, would do the job without pay. Ooh, nasty. And then here's the really one that gets me. I think he's a genius. But MSNBC, the president's network, thinks he's a black man that knows his place.
Oh, there you go.
Now, what if Fox said that about Obama?
I'm telling you, that is the most racist thing I've ever heard on television. Yeah. And this is not accidental racism where somebody says the wrong thing accidentally. This was a woman who knew what she was saying and said, but Herman Cain is a black
That's
man.
That's what she feels.
Knows his place.
She knew what she was saying because that's what
cow.
She feels. No,
and she was saying it to a black woman.
She said that she thinks he's a genius. She thinks he's a genius, but MSNBC, the president's station, thinks he's a black
That's
man who
I'm
knows his place.
That's what I'm talking about.
But she thinks he's a genius. She's not saying she doesn't.
No, but when I say she, I'm talking about the MSNBC reporter
okay.
who
I
called
you were
him a black man who knows his place.
Yeah, the woman that made the
and
comment.
And what struck me is she said it to another MSNBC person who was a black woman. And why that black woman didn't stand up and say, you do not say that kind of thing. In
well,
front of me.
Well, then we would have had a big
She
old
just
brawl.
Smiled and they went to into the commercial or whatever.
She would have said, uh-huh, that's what I'm talking about. And then have been in a big hair pulling thing and kicking booty.
Come on.
We don't need
Who
that.
Who says that?
Hey, everybody's allowed to their own feelings and their comment. Freedom of speech, okay?
Okay.
You can't shut people up here in America. Let's not start trying.
Let's remember, Herman Cain predicted this. He said, I'm ready for the high-tech lynching that I know is coming.
Well, he knows. He knows.
He said those words.
Yeah, he does. He knows. He knows what's ahead of him, and he's taking it on.
I think he'll take it
I
on fine.
Him.
I'm reading his autobiography now. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. What's it called?
I can't remember.
Hear me roar. No.
Herman Cain is in the name. I know that.
Well, he's a very professional businessman. He's done some good things. So we'll see. I'm very interested in this.
I especially loved
year.
The part where he started his radio career doing exactly what you and I are doing.
He didn't. He said he started on a Saturday.
2 hours
no
on
money,
Saturday.
Just like us. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then somebody noticed there was a blip in the listeners, and they said, well, this guy must be drawing some people.
Well, he's very intelligent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said in my column last week, he's the smartest man in the whole field.
Okay, so going on from there.
Let's go on from there.
Now, we have Phil Kirpin on the line here. He's calling me from Washington, D.C. today. Now, Phil, I told you about him. He's vice president for policy at Americans for Prosperity. That's the AFP. It's a national grassroots organization committed to educating Americans about economic freedom and returning the federal government to its constitutional limits. Good afternoon, Phil.
Good afternoon. Great to be with you.
Oh, so glad to have you here with us. Phil has written a book called Democracy Denied. Right, Phil?
That's right.
Yeah, I've been reading things, excerpts from it. Shows how President Obama is using regulatory action to bypass Congress. Do you believe that that's true?
I do, and we've got some fresh examples of it just this past week with his insistence on doing yet another mortgage bailout and also modifications to student loans without any congressional authorization.
Let me ask you something. Why did you write Democracy Denied?
Well, I wrote this book because it became apparent to me that the election that we had just about exactly 1 year ago would have no consequence at all despite the huge uprising we saw all over the country and folks who really wanted a change in direction. If this president is allowed to disregard the Congress and our elected officials and use bureaucrats and regulators to continue pushing us to the far left. So I wanted to show what's going on, and I hope mobilize people to get active and do something about it.
Well, why do we just see it in Obama? I mean, isn't this something that presidents have done, or does he just know about it and he's just using it to the extreme?
Well, I think this pattern has been going on for some time, really for several decades. We've seen Congress transfer power to unelected bureaucrats and regulators, and the executive branch has got far more power than I think our founders intended in the original constitutional design. So it's not new with Obama, but I think what is new is the level that it's reached and the extremism and the openness that our current president has about simply bypassing Congress. He's been bragging all week, for instance, about how he won't wait. He says, we can't wait for our legitimate legislative branch to act, and so I'll simply go ahead without them. And so I think the extremism and the openness of with which this president is ignoring our elected officials in Congress is, I think, a unique opportunity for us to raise awareness about how much power has been transferred from the Congress to the bureaucracy, and I hope to do something about it.
So now, how do you think that the regulatory tyranny threatens our nation? Do you think it does?
Well, I do, and you know, I think that, what's going on, and just the huge onslaught of rules coming from the EPA and the FCC and the NLRB and the FDA, you can almost pick any three or four letters you want, and they've probably got a bunch of regulations this country doesn't need right now. And the impact that that has on business is just tremendously negative impact. First of all, businesses can't figure out what it is going to cost them to add employees because of all these new regulations that are coming down the pipe, and so they simply sit on cash rather than hire people that they might have to fire in a few months when the next set of regulations come out. So it's sort of paralyzing hiring in this country. But it's not just the uncertainty, because the rules that have come out in many cases have been so onerous that once they get any kind of certainty about what a rule might be, it's so expensive that businesses are having difficulty dealing with it.
Yeah, and it's so they don't know what's going to happen. Which Obama administrative regulation, which of the regulations do you pose has the greatest threat to our freedom and prosperity?
Well, I think, you know, I talk about many of them in the book, but I think the one that affects the most people and that's really the most outrageous in how it happened is the car rule, the corrupt deal that the Obama administration in California struck with the auto manufacturers to take us all the way up to 54.5 miles per gallon fuel economy. And they did that without congressional authorization. They did that by granting California a waiver to set their own standards, and then they said to the auto industry, hey, guys, if you don't want us to let California just regulate you out of existence, you'll agree to this. So they used it to strong-arm them in a backroom meeting with, you know, they said we put nothing in writing ever. And the impact of those regulations is going to cost over $6,000 on average for every new car. Consumers will have less choice. Cars will be smaller. They'll be less safe.
Oof.
And they did it the wrong way. They did it in this backroom deal, and that, to me, is probably the worst because the president, this is the most amazing thing about this, the president said that was his model for the way regulation should work. He said, that's my model for good regulation going forward. Which
good
is pretty
grief.
Frightening.
Yeah.
Good grief.
That's JP.
That's JP. Yeah.
That's JP over there. Yeah, I know it. It's crazy. What do you think about the Federal Communication Commission? Are they going to be taking over the internet? Is that something we have to worry about?
Well, the first FCC regulations of broadband internet in about a decade are set to take effect on November 20th of this year. And all the way back in 2002, the FCC did something that I thought was very, very smart. They said, we're not going to allow any regulation of the internet. We're going to let this be a free market, let the internet service providers compete with each other and see how it all shakes out. And I would suggest that the decade of zero regulation of broadband internet service has been one of the greatest success stories in our economy. And I think it's one of the reasons that the tech sector has just 3.3% unemployment right now versus 10% for the rest of the economy, because regulators haven't been involved messing it up. Nonetheless, this is an issue. The American people were very happy with the internet being unregulated. There were actually 95 Democratic candidates last year that campaigned on this idea of having so-called net neutrality regulations for the internet. They all lost. They went a perfect 0-for-95.
Good grief. What does that tell you?
It ought to tell you that this is not something that we want. I mean, I think it's pretty crystal clear. But the FCC voted 3-2 on a party line vote to go ahead and do this anyway. And they're saying, well, this is only very mild regulation. We're just going to protect you from the phone and cable companies doing bad things. But I think it's a very dangerous first step to say that we're going to let the FCC decide which network management practices are or are not permitted, which business practices are or are not permitted. And I think it's going to lead to more pervasive regulation, could really undermine what's worked so well in terms of the internet being a free market, highly competitive, high innovation space. And so we're hoping, the House has already voted to overturn these regulations. We're hoping the U.S. Senate will do the same. There's probably going to be a vote in the next month or two on overturning these rules, and we're going to be pushing hard for the Senate to do the right thing, to stand up to these unelected bureaucrats at the FCC.
Yeah, because, I mean, all it takes is martial law to take over anything and everything, all of our rights. Am I right?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, once you start saying it's okay to regulate the internet in this certain way, I think it'll start us down a path that could lead to much more heavy-handed regulation. You could say the same thing about all of these rules that the EPA's got to regulate mining and farming and regulate industry and, you know, all these other sectors, all the union rules and so on. It's really about to my mind, the basic question on all these fights is, do we think Americans are competent to run their own lives and make their own choices, and or do we think that we need to have bureaucrats and regulators looking over our shoulder all the time and telling us what to do? This administration thinks that most Americans need to be told how to live their lives, and I completely disagree with that.
Well, when we could trust the men representing us, the men and women, it was different. But
was there really ever such a time?
Was there? There
I
must have been.
So.
The forefathers.
Well,
I mean,
even the best, most well-intentioned guy in the world, who's all the way off in Washington trying to figure out how 300 million people ought to live their lives, is never going to get it right for everyone.
That's right.
That's why I think individual freedom is such a critical concept on which our country was founded, and really for any free market system to work. People have their own preferences, they have their own desires, and nobody really knows what those are other than that person. And so once you start trying to impose one-size-fits-all regulations or dictates coming out of Washington, I just think it can't possibly work. I mean, this is the reason planned economies all collapsed all over the world. I mean, there's just no way even the most well-intentioned and enlightened bureaucrat can know the wishes and preferences and wants and desires of millions of people.
Well, that's what we're built on here in this country. I wanted to ask you about property rights, because what do you think of the Supreme Court's Kelo decision?
Well, I think that was a terrible decision. Mm-hmm. It allowed local governments to privilege private developers over other private citizens. And, you know, the whole, you know, there is a path.